Good morning, everyone. Do we have any first-time visitors today? Welcome to Jesus Church. Okay. Since we don't have any first-time visitors today, we'll welcome all of us that come every Sunday and glad to see everybody. Do we have any announcements that are not in the bulletin today? Okay. Got a quiet bunch today. Oh, we do have one. Committee will meet next Sunday. 10 o'clock next Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you do have any prayer requests that you don't wish to speak, if you would put it on a card and place it in the offering.
So if they're short of cards, Michael will hand them out later. Freshly cut cards right back there.
I do have a praise this morning. I had requested prayer for my nephew, Bobby Pruitt, and he had a test run, had a gallbladder removed, and he's doing great, and I appreciate your prayers for him. We can take him off the prayer list. There's no other prayer requests in this morning? Oh, we do have one? From 2 Corinthians 13. God the Creator is in this place. Jesus our Redeemer is in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. We welcome the fullness of God's presence. God the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us now and forever.
Turning our hymnals to hymn 289. There shall be showers of blessing. We've had showers this week, for sure. Thank you.
For a moment on some of the blessings that God has poured out on you. Material blessings, spiritual blessings. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning reflecting upon those many blessings that you have given us. Lord, we come to offer thanks. We come to acknowledge from whence they come. Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And we just thank you. Lord, we pray that we could be worthy recipients and that we would be able to use the blessings that you have upon us for your honor, for your glory, in the way, Lord, that would be pleasing to you, in a way that would add to your kingdom those that are not yet a part of your kingdom. Lord, keep us faithful in our service. We know, Lord, that you are always faithful. And we just ask that you would just move in each life is gathered here in this place this day. Lord, for those prayer concerns that were expressed, those that we failed to speak aloud, that we thought, that we remembered, Lord, give your blessing there. Lord, we know the greatest blessing to be Jesus, your Son, who came to offer us salvation, and we just thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just come praying in his name. Lord, we come also praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And please be seated.
Our call to confession. No pretense needed in the presence of God. It is good to admit our sins. Prayer of confession in unison. Father of the lights of heaven, loving creator and sustainer of all things, when we take you for granted or turn our backs on you, please forgive us and save us and restore us to joy of salvation. Jesus Christ, Jesus, Son of God, the Son of humanity, when we neglect you or follow you timidly from a long way behind, please forgive and save us and restore to us the joy of salvation. Holy Spirit, source of birth and rebirth, nurture of the family of God, who will inject your friendship to current favor with God's contemporary fashion, please forgive and save us and restore to us the joy of salvation. Most loving God, origin and goal of communal love, please gather all the wandering children back to your side. Restore to them their senses and forgive their many sins. Reinforce within us the desire to do your will and to participate in both your travail and joy as you bring near the fulfillment of your new creation. Through Christ Jesus, our Savior. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from unrighteousness.
Hymns again, if you will please, to hymn 338. Let's sing the first and last.
Creed is not going to be on the screen this morning, so if you would turn your hymnal to 716. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Way as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mystery. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. If the ushers would please come forward.
Thank you.
earn a portion to promote your work or carry on your work in the world. But also, Lord, just to acknowledge your word is right. We offer your word. Thank you. Now bless these offerings and use of them for your kingdom progress.
I've never had to say I look at all the victory, the spirit rises up in me, but through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll seal the flames again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Taken from Luke 15:11-24. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off,
somebody pick up there. today is Trinity Sunday, a day that the church is called upon or has opportunity to think about God in three persons. We're using three portions for a title this morning, but that's really not about Trinity. But it's always about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The call to worship, we emphasize that, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was emphasized there, and also in the prayer of confession. The sermon is about rededication, renewal, and restoration. Maybe all being the same thing. Prayer rails are before you this morning. Of the kneeling benches. They're here for a purpose. To give you opportunity, if you so desire, to make it to this altar, or as we call it, the altar. It's really not an altar, but we make it our altar. And commune with God in this place as an act of rededication or an act of renewal, and as a move to ask God to restore you, that is, if you're not where you need to be, and you will have to decide that. In the hymn 289, a phrase there, the last verse, the third and fourth phrase, "Now, as to God, we come confessing. Now, as on Jesus we call." And I can interpret that as being a call for God to forgive us that which we have done that is wrong, and for not doing that which is right, and call on Jesus. He paid for that sin, mine, yours, and then call on Him through the Holy Spirit to restore us. It might help this morning if you had a Bible in your hand. Every once in a while I'll go to another church, or we'll have a guest speaker here. It don't happen often. But they'll say, "Get your Bible. If you brought your Bible, hold up your Bible." Well, that wasn't one of my characteristics or one of my practices. I was thinking today about, or this week, about reading the Scripture, hearing the Scripture. And I would go into some churches and I'll approve of this. This had been my practice. They'll say, "Stand up while we read the Scripture. Stand at attention before God." That's the idea. And I like that practice, but I'm not sure that I can give as much attention to the Word that is being read if I'm standing as if I'm sitting comfortably. So my practice has been, and nobody's challenged me in the congregations where I serve, is that people sit, be comfortable, where they can understand the most of the Word, the way I understand it. Okay. So, I said all that to say, give you an opportunity to open your Bible or find a few Bibles if you like, or have it handy. We'll give you opportunity to look at Jeremiah 2 and 3, Isaiah 1, and maybe Joel, and maybe we'll get to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the preceding verses, and we have printed for you Luke 15:11 and following, I think through 24. How many renewals have you been involved in? Renewals are rededications, if you will. There are many renewals in our life and many occasions for us to be involved in renewal. And I ask you to think of some of the renewals in your life. One of them that most of us have participated in is renewing our driver's license. And if we're hunters or fisher persons, we have renewed our hunting license or our fishing license. It's pretty common for a couple to reach 50 years of marriage and make their way to the altar of a church when they're celebrating with their friends in their 50th anniversary and renew their marriage vows. And you have very possibly participated or been a part of some of that, maybe with your parents. And probably none of us have been married that long that are present here this morning. But those renewals in your life that you have been involved in, Christian life, in our relationship with God, there have been many times that I personally have felt that need to rededicate my life to God. And that was a big thing in the church that I grew up in. And it came regularly at revival time. And I grew up believing, wrongly so, but believing that the only time a person could get saved or dedicate their life to God, respond to His love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, was at revival time. Also, I thought that was the only time that you could rededicate your life to Jesus. So every time the preacher would come, the outside preacher, and a guest speaker, evangelist we would call him, and he would preach, and I would feel that need to rededicate my life to God, because I hadn't been the Christian that I was supposed to be, or that I understood that I was supposed to be. Well, you can renew your commitment to God with your regular preacher, and you can renew your commitment to God at some time other than a revival time in a local congregation, or at a revival time down at the stadium. At this time in my life, I have tried to live a Christian life. But I still feel a need for rededication occasionally. There's an old story that I heard years ago, and some of the older preachers would kind of make light of the fact that this preacher, and I don't remember who he was, don't think I ever knew him, but they knew him, and they would, more than once I heard them talking about, he was preaching himself and got saved under his own preaching. Or that was this person's testimony. And they left the impression that that was not the way it should have been. Well, it's not. He should have been saved before he started preaching. But it's good that he got saved under his own preaching. Well, my situation has been, often when I will preach a sermon, I preach to myself as much as I do to the congregation that I'm preaching to, and I will feel a need to affirm my faith, rededicate my life under my own preaching. That's pretty good preaching, isn't it? Whether it touches y'all or not, it at least touches somebody. And you may have observed sometimes during the invitation hymn that I have turned and just focused on the cross. You may not know what I was doing, but I have done that. And now, a few times I have even knelt at the steps here. So I even feel that need, mostly, as I say it, from what I have not done. But that doesn't mean to imply that I have done everything, that I have not done some things that were wrong. Go back to the Bible. Our experiences are wonderful. We can relate to them. But what does the Bible say? There are numerous occasions in the Bible where people have come to God, or in the past, they came to God in an act of renewal. Come to God in an act of renewal. Or rededication, and come to God for restoration. David did wrong. David stole another man's wife. David went further and had that man killed, or got him killed. Nathan the prophet came to David and spoke to him and pointed out his sin. David came to God. Confess it. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And then Psalm 51 is David's prayer of confession. 2 Samuel 11 and 12 and Psalm 51. Jonah. Jonah, in the book of Jonah, somewhere in the back of your Bible, Joel is right before. Where does Jonah come after? Right after. See, right after Obadiah. Well, Obadiah is sitting with us this morning. Where are you, Obadiah? See, we were taught not to. Somewhere along the way, they said, don't put a lot of bookmarks in your Bible. You're supposed to just kind of know where to turn if you're the preacher. Well, this is not the Bible I studied from this week. These pages are so thin. There we are. Jonah. Do we know the story of Jonah? God said to Jonah, he was a prophet of God. God said, go and preach to Nineveh, the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh. They were his enemies. God said, go, and Jonah said, I won't do it. I will not go and preach to those people. So he ran off, and he ended up in a ship. The storm came, and he confessed to those folks what was wrong, why the storm came, that it was the Lord dealing with him. They threw him overboard, and the large fish swallowed him. And even in that fish, he turned to the Lord in the belly of a whale, we call it. I guess if we were there with all those gastric juices, we would be confessing too. And then the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, in verse 11 and following. And that's just to name three examples of people who have turned away from God and then turned to God. If the father in the prodigal son story represents God, this guy, this son, was in fellowship with his father, but he got rebellious and said, I don't need my father anymore. I don't need his restraint. I don't need his rules to go by. So he took his portion of the inheritance and ran off and wasted it. But he got in a mess. We try to leave God, we get in a mess. There's a lesson there. He tried to leave God, run off from him, and he got in a mess. For a Jewish boy to be feeding pigs was the lowest of low. See, swine, an unclean animal. Not supposed to eat, not supposed to touch, not supposed to deal with them. So, but he returned, came to his senses through the ages. These are only three examples. But through the ages, people have found themselves in need of renewal in their relationship with God. In the book of Isaiah, that's where we told you we'd go to. So if you look to the book of Isaiah, and you, that's right after Song of Solomon, see. I know where that one is. The book of Isaiah, and the chapter 1. Basically, chapter 1 in Isaiah is a call to renewal. And I just looked down at verse 13 of chapter 1. And NIV version of the scriptures, it says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Now, these people were coming to the temple regularly. They were making their offerings. They were going through the motions of commitment and worship, but their hearts were far from God. So he says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. What he wants is meaningful offerings. Your incense. They were burning incense before God, and he says your incense is detestable. Now, the idea was that the incense would rise up to God and bring a smile to his face, God being in heaven. But he says that incense, it was the manner in which it was being given. They had turned away from God. They were acting like they were worshiping, but they really were not, because their heart was not right. They were new moons and Sabbaths and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies, because the assemblies were evil assemblies. We find this in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 11, when the people were making this a terrible experience out of the communion service. And Paul chewed them out, so to speak. He chewed them out in his letter to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter, saying, folks, that's not the way communion is supposed to be observed. They were having maybe nothing short of a drunken brawl. Even when the people in Isaiah spread out their hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes. Then in verse 16, he says, wash and make yourselves clean. The call to rededication, isn't it? A renewal. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Then verse 17 says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And then in verse 18, God says, come. These sinful people, come. Come, let us reason together. says the Lord. Maybe that speaks to you this morning. Come, let us reason together. Though your sin be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Restored. Restoration. That's what God is. From the renewed relationship. Jeremiah. It's Isaiah. The next book is Jeremiah. You really have to get to chapter 2 and 3. But you find in Jeremiah a call to rededication, a call to repentance, a call to come to God that He might restore them. The little heading here in this particular rendering of the Scriptures, Jeremiah condemns Judah for her sin, or sins. And then a little subheading is Israel forsakes God. God's people have turned their back on Him. And Israel was holy to the Lord. Israel was the first fruits of God's harvest. That's chapter 2, verse 3. But then all who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Then he begins to say, what fault did your fathers find in me? Then down at verse 9, he says, I will bring charges against you, and I will bring charges against your children's children. What's the problem? God is saying to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. Over chapter 2, verse 20, they broke off the yoke. Long ago you broke off your yoke and tore off your bonds. You said, I will not serve you. They turned from God and refused to serve Him. In words or in action? Probably a little of both. Probably a little of both. Then verse 23, how can you say, I am not defiled? You've gone after other gods. Verse 23. See how you behave in the valley. Consider what you have done. You are a swift she camel, running here and there. In verse 24 of chapter 2, you are a wild donkey, accustomed to the desert, sniffing the wind in her craving, in her heart, who can restrain her? A call, a charge, and it continues to a call to come to God. Before that time, we can go back to as the children of Israel had just been freed from the bondage of Egypt. And 49 days later, I think we talked about, they arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses was in the mountain receiving the commandments of God, marching instructions, if you will, requirements for God's people as a free people on the way to the promised land. And while Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the commandments, the people grew impatient. And they demanded that they have a God to worship. And Aaron, Moses' brother, who was supposed to be the priest, and bring the people to God, he took all their jewelry and made it into a golden calf. So Isaiah's time wasn't the first time. Jeremiah's time wasn't the first time. Go back to even Moses' time, the time of Moses. 49 days, if we have counted correctly, after they had that miraculous experience, blessing of God, getting them out of Egyptian slavery. And then they demanded another God. How does that relate to us? You'll have to figure that one out. The book of Joel. The book of Joel. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Let's turn over to Joel 13 and 14. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Put on sackcloth, O priest, even calling to the priest, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast and call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. A call to repentance. A call to repentance. Now, your relationship with God. You think about it. Where are you in your relationship with God? God is good all the time. But one of the many good things about God, one of the good things about God is that God wants us to return to it. He sent Nathan to speak to David. He spoke to Jonah even while Jonah was in the fish, because he had a job for Jonah to do. He spoke to the Israelites through Moses, and Moses went to the Lord on the people's behalf. And later he spoke to the Israelites through Joel and through Isaiah and Jeremiah. And finally he spoke to his people through Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, he's calling to some of you through this sermon. The prodigal. The steps to restoration may have to come to your senses. The prodigal came to his senses. Why? He was desperate. Did God use this to bring him to his senses? Yeah. He came to his senses. The Holy Spirit dealt with him there in the pig pen. During the pig pen of life. He saw himself as he was. Destitute. Separated from God. Separated from his Father. Hungry. Then he turned to his Father. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God says to Solomon, as he dedicates the temple, King Solomon's temple, after they finally got to Israel and took the land, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's sing 342. Just as I am, these kneeling benches await you. You feel a need for a public rededication and restoration. 342. Just as I am. Thank you. exit very quietly. You may remain here as long as you like. Lord God, send us forth as your people, honoring you in Jesus' name.
We use shorter ones. wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates
been taken prisoner by the king of Babylon and marched away from home to work in a forest.